You guys having a good week so far?
Yes.
All right. Yes. Okay. All right. Hey, I know that you guys have like a lot of shows that are really popular right now, a lot of cartoons that are popular right now. I'm gonna bring you back for a second. You guys down to go back in time with me for a second? Okay. When I was in elementary school, there was this show called Recess. Anybody know the show Recess? I know I'm aging myself right now. This was an awesome show. It was basically about 6 fourth graders that were really close friends. You got Vince on the left with the basketball, best athlete in school, also a great cook. You have Spinelli in the beanie. Obviously, she is one tough customer, pretty tough girl. You got Mikey in the back. He is such a soft heart and has a great baritone voice. TJ Detweiler in the front, he's the leader. He's the one that comes up with all the plans, gets into some mischief, but a good heart. Gretchen, super smart and great yo-yoer. And Gus, who is the shy new kid, but really good at dodgeball. I know you really wanted to know all of that. Really why I say all this is I loved Recess. I loved Recess. It was one of my favorite shows. Showed 6 very different individuals that had very different personalities and interests, and yet they were friends. They were very close. And one of the friendships that I loved watching the most was the two individuals in the front, Spinelli and TJ. So girl Spinelli in the beanie, TJ with the backwards hat. They had an awesome relationship because they were friends, but they stuck it out, and they, even in difficult times, they were there for each other and helped support each other. Like one episode, TJ got wrongfully sent into detention. And so Spinelli led the charge in breaking him out of detention. It was a little bit of like a prison break episode. And so she had to rally some troops basically to help her in this. And she went to the king of the playground, King Bob, to try to get him to help out. And King Bob said, "Why would I help one dumb fourth grader?" And Spinelli went off on him and eventually won him over, and they got to break TJ out of detention. In another episode, Spinelli accidentally called her teacher mom. Anybody ever been there? Okay, some real ones in here, I like it. One of the most embarrassing things, she was made fun of throughout the playground. So they were trying to fix it, and in the end, TJ intentionally calls that same teacher mom and gets everybody else to do it too to make her less embarrassed. They were willing to step into difficult times for each other. And I know it's a cartoon, but there's a lot that we can learn because these are truly iconic friends in my mind growing up. We're in a series called In Real Life, or IRL as we're calling it. And we're talking about relationships because relationships are huge in our lives, and especially in your life right now. You have so many different kinds of relationships in your life that mean a lot. And we want to develop real relationships because real relationships last. Real relationships last. And we want relationships that can last for us. Not shallow ones that are here today, gone tomorrow. We want real relationships that last. So we're talking through how we can actually develop real relationships. So we're looking at different areas of life where we have important relationships. Now, one thing we've been inviting you to do is throughout this series, if you have questions, to write them down, and then there will be a QR code on the screen after the entire message. And while you're going to small groups, there will be a QR code on the screen that you can scan it and actually send your questions in. And on the last week, we'll actually have a round table of Revolution staff to be able to answer some of those questions. So make sure if you have a question from this week, past weeks, future weeks, write them in into that form, and we'll be able to hopefully answer your questions. So we talked about week one, we talked about parents and that relationship. Week two, we talked about our siblings. Last week, we talked about same gender friends. This week, we're gonna jump to the opposite of that, and opposite gender friends. Now, these friendships have the potential to cause a lot of pain in our life. I think we know that. We know there is nothing more cutting. As a guy, there is nothing more cutting than a girl telling you that your outfit looks bad. And I know, like, I don't even care about my outfits. Like, my wife buys all my clothes, and I ask her every day, like, does this look good? And if she says yes, I go. But if a girl were to come up to me, especially when I was in high school, and she goes, hey, you look really bad, I would be devastated. And if a guy said it, I'd brush it off a little bit easier. But these relationships have the potential to really cause pain. However, opposite gender friendships also have the potential to be some of the most positive and impactful relationship in our lives. So how do we get there? How do we develop healthy opposite gender friendships? And I'm not talking about dating, just friendships, because those are very valuable for our lives. And then what do they teach us about relationships and how to develop healthy relationships across the board? Well, I wanna point to a relationship, a friendship that we see in scripture. So if you have your Bible, turn to Romans 16, Romans chapter 16. But before we read anything in scripture, what do we need to know? That's great. Context. Thank you, all right. Context, some background information helps us better understand exactly what we're reading. So what is some context to Romans chapter 16? Well, Romans was written by a guy named Paul, and he was writing to Christians located in Rome after Jesus had died and risen from the dead. So the gospel of Jesus, the good news of Jesus's life, death, and resurrection had been spreading across the Roman Empire at this time. And Paul was one of the prominent voices in the early church to help spread the good news of the gospel. And here, Paul has never been to Rome, and he's never been able to tell them the gospel. And so he writes this letter to the Romans who have heard about Jesus. He writes this letter to make sure they know what the real gospel is, so that they didn't get a false story of who Jesus was and what he did. He wanted them to know that they could know that they could know what the gospel was. So throughout Romans, you see him clarify and bring clarity to what the true gospel actually is. But Paul was also a missionary. He traveled around the Roman Empire, around the Mediterranean, preaching the gospel, sharing with people about Jesus. Now to do that, he had to have the means. He had to have the funds to be able to do that. So he had a job, he was a tent maker, but also he got supported by other Christians. So churches in different cities, they would actually help support Paul, give him what he needed in the cities that he was going to. And so here, he is talking about one of his friends that has helped support him in his travels. And he's writing to the Romans on her behalf. This is what he says. I commend to you our sister Phoebe. When he says sister, he means someone that also trusts in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. So Paul here is raving, as he finishes out his letter to the Romans, he is raving to them about one of his friends, Phoebe, saying, yo guys, Phoebe is coming to you guys. She's coming to you, she's coming to Rome, and I need you to do two things. I need you to welcome her. Like, and he says, to welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints. Like, yo, when she comes, make a big deal about it. That's how much he cares about this girl, Phoebe. So he's like, hey, welcome her. And then second thing, he says to help her in her need. Now we're not exactly sure what her need was, but for some reason she's going to Rome and she needs something. And so he's saying, hey, welcome her and help her in whatever ways she needs. And he says to do this for a very specific reason. He's so adamant about this because she has actually helped so many people, including Paul. She has been someone, as he says, she has been a patron of many. Now that word patron in the Greek, which is, that's what Paul is writing in, it means a person of means or influence who provided protection, sponsorship, and material aid to clients, travelers, or civic causes. So he's saying, hey, listen, this woman, Phoebe, she has used what she has whether it's money, her influence, whatever it may be. She has used this to help so many people, including myself. So now we need to return the favor. She has supported me and so many other people. Now we need to support her. See, what can we learn from this friendship? We can learn that real relationships require real support. Real relationships require real support. It is safe to assume Phoebe gave so much of her effort, time, and money to so many other people, as Paul said. And Christianity was not loved back then, right? It was this like fledgling, if you want to call it religion, but this fledgling way that people were starting to live, that especially the Jewish religious leaders and a growing sentiment among the Romans hated. They hated that people were starting to follow this Jesus because they saw it as a threat to themselves, whether it was a threat to the Jewish religious leaders or a threat to the Roman government. And so Christianity was not loved, and Phoebe was going out of her way to support these people, giving up, risking her life to be able to help these people. But Paul doesn't stop there. We see two more friends that he talks about in a very similar way. Verse 3, "Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well." So now he's talking about two more people. Prisca, aka Priscilla, she's known as Priscilla in other verses, Prisca and Aquila, her husband. So Paul describes them as his fellow workers, and he talks about them many other times throughout his letters and how they have been on the forefront of spreading the gospel and helping others as well. He mentions them a couple more times, and here he says that they, including Prisca, risked their lives for him. In fact, we read about how when they were in Ephesus, a riot broke out. And the people there in Ephesus did not want Christians to actually spread their message. They hated it because what they believed, what they worshiped and believed in were idols. And so they didn't like that these people were rejecting these idols and starting to follow this guy named Jesus. And so they started a riot. And Paul actually says that his friends protected him. And it's safe to assume, since we know that Priscilla and Aquila were there with him in Ephesus, that they were probably some of the people that risked their lives to save Paul and get him out of danger. So we see these are people that are there. Real friendships show up in the most difficult times. That's where you see real friendships. But what does real support look like for you? What does real support look like for you in your life, like practically? Real support isn't just like cheering someone on in the things that they want to do. I think we can think that's like the definition of support, like just like, yay, I'm so happy for you, keep going. But that's not exactly what real support is. There, you can do that, and that can be a really good thing. Like I was just at a Creekview lacrosse game last night, which Creekview girls, JV, yeah, woo, all right. They won. Go Grizzlies, rawr. That's what you guys do, right? Grr. Rawr is the lion, isn't that? That would be a lion. Whatever. But while I was at that game, we were all sitting on one side on the like big bleachers. On the other side, right behind the players, there were five guys that were just sitting there in a line, and they were going nuts. Like they were doing the wave just by themselves, just five people doing the wave, cheering on the Grizzlies. Like it was really cool to see. They were cheering on the people. They were helping support in that way. So it can be a good thing to cheer on what somebody wants to do, but it can also be a toxic thing. It can also be enabling a bad habit, a bad behavior. So it's not just cheering on. Real support is not just cheering on whatever that person wants to do. Real support is about wanting what is best for the other person and pointing them to Jesus to find it. That's what real support actually is. It's saying, hey, I want what is best for you. So this is where you should find it, and it's Jesus. That's what real support is. See, you will need friends in difficult times. You will encounter difficult times. This is one of the biggest misconceptions that people have when they become a Christian. They think they should not have difficulties anymore. Like, oh, everything should just be easier now. The Bible never says that. In fact, the Bible tells us that we will have difficulties. We will face persecution. We will have hard times. And so if we know that's going to be the case, then we need people, we need friends around us to help us in those times. Those are key relationships that we should have. You will need friends in difficult times. But not only that, your friends will need you in their difficult times. And if we are to truly support one another, what that means is that we should want what is best for that person and point them to Jesus. I remember when I was in my young 20s, so long ago, I got diagnosed with something called Crohn's disease, which is basically like an inflammation in the small and large intestine. I spent many weeks in the hospital, sometimes for very long stretches, having surgeries and recovering and all of that. And there were some really, really dark times, really dark times where I hated where I was. I hated what was going on. I had so many questions, not only to the doctors, but I had questions for God. Why would you let this happen to me? Like, what is the point of this? I'm just sitting here. And I remember very vividly my friends coming to my hospital room and just spending time with me. Spending time with me, encouraging me, writing verses to me, pointing me back to where I needed to look, which was not to myself, not even to the doctors. I needed to look toward Jesus. And I remember having friends that did that for me, guys and girls. And it was powerful. And it helped me get through those difficult times. See, you may not always know what is best. You may not always have the right words. You may not have the right actions. Maybe it's just to be present for that friend that's going through a tough time. That may be all that you need to do. Be present and point them to Jesus. That may be all that they need to support them. Now, I know some of you, when you're thinking about friends of the opposite gender, some of you guys might be thinking like, oh, I've got tons of friends that are girls. Like, I've got this down. Girls, you might be thinking the same thing. I've got a ton of guy friends. Like, I don't have a problem with this. But I have a question. Do those friends pass that qualification of support? Not just to cheer you on whatever you want to do. Do your friends actually point you toward Jesus? And do they allow you to point them to Jesus? Because listen, if they don't, if those friendships are not pointing each other toward Jesus and wanting what is best for each other in that way, then those aren't real relationships. They're shallow ones, right? They are shallow relationships that are not going to last. Real relationships last. And so what we need to make sure that we have in our relationships, in our friendships, are people that want what is best for us by pointing us toward Jesus. So do your relationships do that? Because listen, one of the biggest problems with opposite gender friendships is that they can be confusing, right? They can be confusing. And that's because we were made differently. Like, guys, ladies are not always going to understand why you do the things that you do. Ladies, am I right? Can I get an amen? Okay. Listen. As guys, we do some strange stuff that like doesn't make sense why we do it, but we do it anyway. I remember I went to home, bring it in. I remember when I was in high school, I was eating at one of my friend's house with a bunch of us there. And I had my fork in my hand and I'm just scooping it up and eating. And my friend Jet, her name was Jessica Aaron Thomas. So Jet, sick name. But Jet looked at me and she goes, "What are you doing?" I was like, "What are you talking about? I'm eating." She goes, "Yeah, but why are you holding your fork that way? And I had never thought about it in my life, how I held my fork. But I look down and I'm holding the fork like this, like a caveman. And I tried to justify it to her, like, well, like it's easy. It's just, it's efficient. It's good. Like it doesn't matter why I hold it that way, but it's weird, y'all. It was weird. And she pointed it out to me. And all the girls that were around the table were like, yeah, that's weird, Dave. That's weird. But I didn't know until they pointed it out. And in that moment, I changed how I ate. I know, it's a silly thing, but I changed my entire eating style because I realized I don't understand why I'm doing the things that I'm doing. I needed some friends to point that out. So listen, ladies are not always going to understand why we do the things that we do, guys. But gentlemen, we are not always going to understand why ladies think the way they think. Guys, can I get an amen? Amen. Right? Hold on, listen. Shh. Bring it in. It's just true. We are very ill-equipped as men, as guys, to read minds. Very ill-equipped. Not always the best at it. And so we're not always going to understand what ladies are thinking. And that makes things difficult. And it's because we're created different. Like we just are. God created men and women differently, guys and girls differently. And the fact, hold on, bring it in. The fact that we were created differently is a good thing, but it can also cause confusion, can cause pain, unless it's worked through. If it's not understood and worked through, it can cause confusion. So I wanna give a couple practical tips real quick, okay? Ladies, a tip about guys. We have high potential to be dumb jerks. Like, we know that. It's true. Hold on, listen. We just do, it's true. And so what we need from you as friends is to encourage us. Encourage us in the positive, godly things, godly traits that you see in us. Like there is nothing more powerful sometimes than one of you coming to a guy, your guy friend, and saying, hey, I really appreciate how kind you are. Man, if you want a guy to keep being kind, say that to him. Point out, hey, you were really nice in that. Hey, I loved how you opened that door for all those girls. Thank you for doing that. Man, that guy's gonna be like, I'm gonna keep doing that every day of my life now. It's just true. So what we need to help us is for you to encourage us in the positive, godly traits that you want to see. Now, a tip for gentlemen about ladies. They have a high potential to bring drama. We know that. Not everybody. But listen. So gentlemen, a solution, a way that you can help that is be a calming presence. Be a calming presence around drama. And to reassure your friends who are female, reassure them and who they are, how God sees them. Because if you go to them and you say, hey, listen, I just hope you know, like God loves you. That might be exactly what they needed to hear that day. Because there's so much going around. There are so many voices trying to lie to females nowadays, especially as you're a student. And so to know whose you are in God, that's a powerful thing. And we as guys should be supporting you in that way and letting you know how God sees you. Not how the world sees you, but how God sees you. And Paul kind of emphasizes this earlier in Romans. In Romans 12:10, he says this, love one another with brotherly affection. And that brotherly, actually in a different translation, says as brothers and sisters. So love one another as brothers and sisters. Outdo one another in showing honor. When he says outdo one another, this isn't setting up a competition. It's setting a standard. Paul here is setting a standard to say, hey, I'm not going to give bare minimum effort. I'm not gonna just do the minimum effort to honor you, like, you know, lazily open the door for you or something like that. I'm not gonna do the minimum. I'm gonna try to outdo you. I'm gonna try to outdo what anyone else has done to honor you. That's what we should do for each other. If we really love our friends, we should be trying to outdo one another in showing honor, not out of competition, but to encourage one another. That word honor actually means showing precious value. So how do you show precious value to your friends? See, your speech, your actions show whether you honor your brothers and sisters in Christ or not. So how do you talk about the opposite gender? Or how do you allow others to talk about the opposite gender in front of you? That matters. How do you show honor? Because what we should really be asking is, how does God see that other person? Because the answer there is, he sees them as his wonderful creation whom he loves. So how do you think he wants you to treat someone he loves? We need to set a standard of showing honor and support for our friends. And if you want to develop real relationships that last with your friends, including friends of the opposite gender, those relationships need to be built on honor, encouragement, and support so that they can become healthy and life-giving instead of hurtful and confusing. But we can't truly understand the love that God has for us, the love that God has for all of his creation, if we don't know who Jesus is. Jesus is the reason that we know how much God loves us. Yes, not only did he create us, but he saved us from our sin that was going to separate us from him forever. And so we can know, based on Jesus, that God cares about us, that God loves us, and he doesn't just leave us where we are, but he sent his son to die on the cross, take all of our sin and pay for it, so that we may have a relationship with him again. We don't earn it, we don't deserve it, and yet he gives it freely. And if you're in this room right now and you need that relationship with Jesus for the first time, it doesn't take you doing anything. You don't have to do anything. All that needs to be done is accept what has been done for you already on the cross. So if you want to take that step and trust that Jesus is who he says he is, your Lord and your Savior, you can do that right now. We're gonna pray. You'll have a chance to talk to God and trust that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Let's pray. If that's you and you wanna trust in Jesus for the first time, just talk to God right now. Say, God, I admit that I am a sinner and that my sin separates me from you. But I believe that you love me so much. You sent your son Jesus to come to this earth, live a perfect life, and then die on the cross to pay for my sin, ultimately raising from the dead, defeating sin, and defeating death. And I want to follow Jesus the rest of my life. If that was you that for the first time you trusted in Jesus, this is the greatest day of your life, and we want to celebrate it with you. So I wanna just ask you, if you made that decision tonight for the first time, I just wanna ask you to take a step of faith and raise your hand. Raise it high so that we could see it and celebrate with you. We wanna give you a Bible to put in your hand to help you get started on this journey with Jesus. For the rest of us, maybe we've trusted in Jesus. And this message of support, talking about relationships and friendships, specifically of the opposite gender, we've realized, hey, we don't have the best support around us. We don't have people that are trying to build us up, trying to point us toward Jesus because he is what is best for us. Maybe we have shallow relationships that just support whatever we want to do as opposed to what is best for us. God, I pray that you can show us the people in our lives that we should be having as our closest people around us, Lord. The people that will support us with real support in wanting what is best, and that's Jesus, even when it's difficult. That we have friends that are willing to step into the tough situations. And sometimes just sit in those moments, even if they don't have the right words to say, but they know that they can point us to Jesus, because we will face difficult times. And God, I pray that in our everyday relationships, that we could encourage one another, we can honor one another and support one another, just as you tell us to, God. We can outdo one another with honor, so that we can constantly, if we just look around at all the people in our friendships, that every single person is pointing us to Jesus and we're pointing them to you as well. So God, we pray that that can be the case. And that as we go into small groups, God, you can bless these conversations on how we can practically do that well. God, we love you, we praise you. Thank you for loving us. Allow us to show that love to others. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Love you guys.